May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be holy and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. The Easter Vigil is one of my favorite holy days of the church year. In the words of the Exultet, that beautiful piece our cantor sang at the beginning of our service tonight, this is the night when we remember how God brought the people of Israel out of bondage in Egypt, led by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. This is the night when all who believe are delivered from gloom and restored to grace and holiness of life. This is the night when Christ broke the bonds of death and hell by rising victorious from the grave. In tonight's gospel reading, Mary Magdalene and another Mary show up to the tomb, ready to pay their respects, dressed in the shroud of mourning, and become, in that moment, our first witnesses to the impossible and the unimaginable, Christ's victory over the grave. They leave the tomb to share the good news of Jesus' resurrection. The scripture says that they were filled with fear and great joy. Filled with fear and great joy. I have to confess to you, my friends, tonight I'm more prone to feel the former than the latter. The streets are too quiet for me, where I long to rejoice as Easter bells ring, all I do is dread the alarm of ambulance sirens. The days flow together, the future seems uncertain. So this Easter Vigil, I don't know how to run and tell the good news of Jesus' resurrection filled with joy. I feel like the best I can manage is to sit still and wait. Sitting still and waiting. It feels as though we're stuck on Holy Saturday, the Sabbath that precedes today's gospel. One of my seminary professors recently reminded me, though, that Sabbath was anything but restful. That day, that Saturday, I imagined that the men who dined with Jesus just a couple nights earlier took account of their actions, took account of how they, each in their own way, had abandoned and betrayed their teacher and friend. On that day, I like to imagine that the women decided to do something about their grief instead. They moved about at home, making quiet funeral preparations. Let's be clear here. Holy Saturday is no one's favorite holiday. I wouldn't even put it in my top five of favorite moments of the church year. Holy Saturday, you see, holds no narrative arc. It holds no drama. The dark gloom of Good Friday has passed, but we haven't yet arrived to the joy of Easter morning. Holy Saturday suffers by being stuck in the middle. The interruption in the action sequence, no more than a placeholder, a liturgical no man's land. It leaves room for quiet contemplation, maybe, but it feels like it offers little in the way of opportunities for change and transformation. All we can do is sit still and wait. Wait with the disciples for the rest of the story. So what does it mean to wait, my friends? Wait for Easter joy to arrive in a time like this. What does it mean to sit and wait for resurrection? You know, it's a funny verb to wait. Waiting. I like the Spanish version of it. Esperar. Esperar holds the root of another word within it. It is the root for the word esperanza, which means hope. Waiting in Spanish, you see, is synonymous with hoping. Waiting and hope are bound up together. Now, it may be too soon to tell, my friends, but I hold out hope. I hold that hope even as we wait. Hope that we haven't been abandoned. Hope that shines a light in the thick of the world's despair. Hope that we can follow the example of the women at the tomb tonight. Those women who were able to hold fear and joy together. I take comfort in that simple fact that these first apostles of ours, the people chosen by God to spread the good news of Christ's resurrection, model for us the virtue of hope and joy in the midst of fear and despair. It is possible to be joyful, not in spite, but even when we are afraid. It is possible to hold the world's pain alongside our steadfast hope for redemption. And that, in a nutshell, may be the single most important message that the people of God throughout history have passed down to us. This is not the first time that the people of God have been afraid, my friends. This will not be the last. And yet, the Christian witness throughout the last 2,000 years has been to proclaim the good news of Christ in the face of fear. The good news of a God who suffers with God's people through plague, pestilence, and oppression. The good news of a God who, when faced with the death-dealing power of the state, when faced with terminal illness or seemingly insurmountable addiction, when faced even with the sin of God's own people, this is the good news of a God who makes a way out of no way. In Christ, death and despair never, ever have the last word. It's okay to be afraid, my friends. But remember that Christ will meet you at death's door and offer you something else, a chance to face our fears with joy and courage and hope. I was reminded recently of the purpose of church bells. Here at St. Paul's, they make the occasional appearance with our bell choir. They are never missing during our Easter celebrations. In other places that have bells outside the church, the bells are rung to mark the beginning of worship. At times, they're also used to mark when the Lord's Prayer is being said. And the purpose of that practice was to invite those who could not join the Christian gathering into the life of prayer. Those working out in the fields, for example, or those who were homebound. When the bells rung, they knew that they too could take part in something bigger than themselves. They too could join in worship. They too could say the Lord's Prayer alongside the faithful in the pews. Friends, we may be apart tonight and tomorrow, but we are still one church, one body. So let us face the world's despair with the joy of Easter proclamation. He is risen, my friends. He is risen indeed. Take courage, love deeply, and keep the faith. Amen.